You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from March 5th, 2001.
Once again, Kathleen Keating, and I guess I will issue that warning again. If this kind of thing disturbs you, you might want to tune out. It may be the kind of thing you don't believe in or don't want to hear, and I understand that. Kathleen, you're back on. You actually had an encounter with what you believe to be the Antichrist, right?
I did.
Can you briefly tell that one more time?
Sure. Let me first say I was doing some research for my book and some other projects I was working on, and the Antichrist, I mean, we read about it in the Bible. We know that some figure will arise, but I started to pay attention when exorcists were debriefing the demons that were being exorcised. And under those conditions, Art, they have to tell the truth. The demons have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of truth comes out. And they more or less confirmed, without any doubt, that the Antichrist is a real person.
You know, just before we do get going with this, mm-hmm. I remember in the movie The Exorcist,
mm-hmm.
and you're right, once the Exorcist had begun, the demon or the devil or whatever it was in that girl, and that was based on a true story, by the way, folks, began to tell the truth. Horrible as it was, it began mm-hmm. to tell the absolute truth. It said who it was and all kinds of horrible things, but the truth. Why is that? In other words, why are they forced to suddenly tell the truth?
Well, under the power of God through the priest and with the holy water and the crucifix in front of them, they cannot deny the truth. They have to tell the truth. They are bound by laws. There are laws, you know, in heaven, on earth, and in hell, and they are bound to follow them.
There's even laws in hell?
Absolutely.
That's a new concept for me. Laws in hell. You think of hell as kind of anarchy, I guess. Chaos.
It is, but it's controlled to the point that people are asked to perform certain duties on demand. Certain things have to be done on demand. They have laws, and there are definite rulers down there.
It figures.
Yeah. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, it figures. It just figures. All right. Well, anyway, you were working on your book.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the final warning, right?
Right.
And what happened?
Well, I had been doing some research as to the Antichrist and his identity. And I ended up, I don't know why, I suppose stupidity, calling his organization. And
Wait a minute. His organization?
Yeah. He has an organization that's international. It's funded by the UN and West London Banks.
What?
Yes.
The Antichrist?
Yes.
Has an organization funded by the UN?
Yes. He even has a whole program dedicated to him by the UN, and now the Dalai Lama.
What?
And he is helping people in third world countries, helping them with money and buildings and so forth, especially down in El Salvador after the earthquake. He's got these people all over the world, and the UN is helping. Because they know the plans. They know that he is their Messiah.
Why would the UN want to assist the devil in any way?
They don't think he's the devil, Art. They think he's the return, the Messiah, the one.
So, from what you're telling me now, the Antichrist must be alive on Earth.
He is, and I saw him.
Okay, let's go ahead and finish that story, and then we'll backtrack, because, I've got some questions.
Okay, well, I interviewed his people, and I don't know why, but they asked for a phone number where I could be contacted, and I gave it to them.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of weeks later, it was really early in the morning, and my dog had to go out, and nobody else in the house was up, so I got the duty to do that. So I got up, took her out, and I was in my pajamas and opened the back door, and let her out to go down, and she's quite a guard dog and very, very feisty and barks a lot and doesn't tolerate anybody messing around her house. And there was this guy standing in the backyard in an Armani suit, charcoal Armani suit, and a turtleneck with his long hair pulled back, very good-looking guy, and I was, like, startled because there I was in my pajamas. It was embarrassing, you know. But the dog couldn't bark, and it was disturbing to me because it wouldn't take anything for her to cross a lawn and
Could he easily have walked into your backyard? Do you have an open backyard?
No, it was totally fenced in.
Totally fenced.
So here's
this handsome guy in an Armani suit in your backyard.
Yeah, and in western Nebraska, that looked really odd.
Way out of place.
Way out of place. And there he was, and he was about 6 feet, 6'2", trim. And a good-looking guy. And he said hi. And
he said what? Hi there?
Yeah, he said hi, and I didn't say a word. I kind of closed the door because I thought, who is this guy?
Uh-huh.
And I got a good look at him, and I thought, oh, my God, it's this purported Antichrist. And my heart started going a little bit, and I thought, what do you do? And I looked at my dog. I was hoping that she was going to do something. She couldn't move. She had one paw up in the air. She tried to bark. You could see her trying to move her mouth. Nothing came out.
Nothing.
Nothing. And you couldn't silence this dog if you tried normally. And he kept walking back and forth looking at me. And I looked at him, and I really didn't want to make eye contact because I'd been warned that he has very hypnotic skills. And I didn't say anything, and I didn't say anything, and he just walked back and forth. And when I didn't say anything, finally, he walked off into thin air.
You saw that with your own eyes?
I did. And I looked at the dog. She looked at me. She ran back up, and it was like, did you see that? I shut the door, locked it, and then my knees started to get a little weak. And I thought, well, Kathleen, you know, are you seeing things or not? And I did some investigation in this, and somebody else had the same occurrence, only he had knocked on her door.
Really?
Yeah, she was an author in England writing about the same subject I was, about the end times and the rise of the Antichrist. And sure enough, the guy pulls up in a Beamer with a guy in army fatigues. They knock on this woman's door, and she opens the door a little bit, and he asked her, and she knew who he was, because of her research, and he said, how would you like to significantly improve your life?
Really?
Really. And she said, no, thank you. And the guy in the fatigues turned to the Antichrist and said, well, why don't you just go in? The door is open. And he said, I can't. Because her soul, apparently, wasn't open to it, and that's what I've been told by several people.
In other words, you've got to agree. You've got to give consent.
Again, it's a rule of God that everyone must follow, that if it's evil, you have to let it in.
Well, all right, now let's back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You said you called the Antichrist organization in where in Europe?
Well, I called him in the United States.
In the United States?
He's everywhere. He lives.
Is it like 1-800-4-EVIL or what?
Well, I could tell you what.
No, don't give me the, maybe you better not. You could tell me, huh?
Well, I could tell you. Well, I think a lot of people know. I mean, I've certainly gotten emails since your show when I released his name probably midsummer.
No, I don't think.
And you may not want to go there.
I may go there, but I want to talk to you privately.
No, I don't blame you.
Go there. Oh, God.
I don't blame you.
So there's actually a phone number for the Antichrist's organization.
Yeah, several of them.
And,
I mean, they're all over the place.
Okay. Then let's try this avenue of attack. Why would you have left your phone number with them?
I don't know. I mean, it was like totally stupid. I guess, you know, I had no idea that they would be coming back at it. Yeah, I didn't even think about it, and I guess I was so lost in the research, it was like, well, you know, come on, they're not going to remember me from anybody.
Hey, listen, you can give your phone number to companies that sell meat, Kathleen, and you will get calls for the next 2 years trying to sell you meat.
I know, and I've been duly chastised since that happened. You know, so I don't give out my number now to anybody.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So they actually call. Did they call you back?
Well, no, they never did.
They just use your phone number to get to you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I had a very lengthy conversation with them, several hours of investigative work with them, and they were very obliging. Of course, they don't see him as the Antichrist. They see him as the Messiah.
I didn't know the UN recognized anybody as the Messiah, and they don't officially, do they?
Well, they're beginning to. We've certainly seen with the United Religion movement, the push to it, we're seeing that the one world religion is moving forward, and certainly the Antichrist and Gorbachev are working together, and the people in the UN know about it. There's floors dedicated to this.
Well, I've seen all the movies about evil, and mm-hmm. it seems to me that people like yourself, working on a book like you did, end up with 2x4s through their chest.
Yes.
And other equally horrible things.
We have had some very bad experiences, and I've also been bribed, so to speak. I didn't
bribed?
Take the bribe.
Bribed in what way?
Some of his people contacted me, and just, you know, when the book was going wrong, everything wasn't going right, people
yes.
were upset.
Yes.
I was going financially under, and it was this wonderful, how would you like to change your life significantly, with unlimited funding.
Really?
Yeah, and I had it on more than one occasion, and it was, oh, brother, you know, and it looks tempting because they don't come at you as being perhaps part of that organization. They come at you as being very Christian people, so to speak, that want to help you out, that, you know, you're doing a good thing to them.
Well, how do you discern?
That's very difficult. I made a lot of calls and did a lot of investigations into what they were saying and who they were, and I was able to track down that they really were tied to him. And it was only by the grace of God and through a lot of prayer that I didn't fall for it, because it really would have been bad not only for the book, but for myself personally, my family, and our souls.
So you think then, I remember that Father Martin said that he could recognize people who had made their pact with the devil.
Absolutely, and I can too in some instances.
He called them the perfectly possessed.
Yes.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he said he could actually walk down the street and recognize somebody who had made that deal. And it was a subtle difference, but something that he could recognize immediately.
I have gotten so that I can, and I talked to Father Martin about this, because I had had a couple of instances where I saw a man who was in the position of a police officer. And he came to the house, and when he looked at me, there was nothing but abject evil in this man. I wouldn't have even called him a man at that point. There was something in his eyes. And he was a friend of my husband at the time, and I said, he's not coming in the house, ever. And he said, don't be crazy. I said, no, I'll prove it to you. And I contacted Father Martin about it, and I said, is it possible for a person to see absolute evil in another person?
Yes.
You know, yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Hmm. And since then, I've acquired perhaps more of physical reactions to people that aren't good people. My stomach will flip-flop. I get kind of an electrical charge around me
mm-hmm.
that I can feel that, and I guess that's common.
I think we've all felt that.
Uh-huh.
I don't
think I'm special in that at all.
Well, here's another thing for everybody to think about. I guess certainly it's not universally true, but if people make pacts with the devil, and it's a thing they can do very easily on their own, if they crave something, if they crave a great career or success or money or mm-hmm. some material thing in this world, and they make their deal, then more times than not, Kathleen, our most powerful people, our leaders of industry, successful people in the media, Hollywood people, you would have to imagine there would be a higher percentage of the perfectly possessed among this group than the poor and the down and out.
Absolutely. And you know why? They go for ego. And when you start seeing our leaders with their egos getting out of check, I think that's the first sign. Pride goeth before the fall, so to speak. And I think that we can recognize it more and more in our leaders when that ego gets so inflated
mm-hmm.
that they have no scruples. Whatever they do is right. And certainly the Antichrist people certainly confirm that they're in touch with our leaders on a daily basis. It's no surprise.
Well, I'm not sure everything they do is right, but most of what they do is successful.
Well,
them personally.
It will be on Earth. They will thrive. And usually these record deals are amazing, aren't they? I mean, some of the money with ball players and so forth. And you really wonder, you know, not that all the ball players are bad that are getting $100 million, but sometimes somebody just does one thing and they're almost a billionaire overnight. And they seem to be living a charmed life.
But it might not be the kind of charm that we imagine it to be, huh?
No. And I think that there's a charisma that goes with that charm that blinds people to reality around them. I think that when people try to scrutinize leaders and so forth, that they tend to be, I don't know, sidetracked in investigations. Certainly we've seen that in government recently.
But if you look at modern American politics,
mm-hmm.
how, for example, do you get to be a congressperson, a senator, or even more so with the presidency? How do you get to these high offices without lying, cheating, making deals with the devil, in a sense, because you need money? And so you make deals. I mean, politics is the art of compromise, which is a nice word to cover a lot of sins.
It is, and if you belong to certain organizations, as many of our recent leaders have, those organizations have given themselves completely over to the devil, and so that they're just acting out the part. I'm not so sure, Art, that it matters who gets elected anymore, as long as, I mean, we know they're all members of the same club. It's just which road they're going to take and which part of the club they represent.
Well, if you believe that, then it's like it's all a gigantic conspiracy, and it really doesn't matter who's elected, because they're all sort of, as you point out, in the same club. You believe that?
I don't want to believe it, but the more I've seen, and certainly my current research has indicated that it is one big conspiracy, that there are good people involved that may not be totally cognizant of what's going on. But the major players are well aware of what's going on and what they have to do to achieve it.
There are dupes for the devil, and then there are direct servants of the devil.
The devil uses everyday people, like 15-year-old boys, to carry out certain tasks to achieve an end. The devil can get us through money, ego, pride, whatever. It's all connected, but the bigger players can be manipulated, and I think a lot of them are going to be betrayed by the Antichrist. Certainly prophecy is indicating that they're all, a lot of them will be killed, but they're all playing into the part that they're going to have a lot of money if they do things, if they deliver this or they deliver that. Clinton was to deliver the peace in Israel. He had a big paycheck on the, not the Nobel Prize, but a big paycheck from an organization that wanted to see that come about.
So the devil then will lie and lie and lie to get to his end, whatever you want to call it, his end.
The devil is 90% truth and 10% lie, and that's where they get you, because a lot of people, you know, we use the rationale, well, if they're right about this, they've got to be right about that. You know, they're telling the truth here, they must be telling the truth there, but it's that 10% that'll get you. Every time.
So, in other words, most of the lies that are really good lies have some little kernel of basis in truth.
Sure.
And from there, the lie is built. Is that it?
It is.
Okay. All right, Kathleen, hold on. We're at the top of the hour. Kathleen Keating is my guest. We're talking about the final days. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from March 5th, 2001. Come to me, honey, see how I cry. Why must you hurt me, do what you do? Listen here, girl, can't you see I love you? Make a little effort, try to be true. I'll be happy, not so blue.